This episode of Inside EMS Podcast is sponsored by LogRx. Learn a better way to track your narcotics at LogRx.com.
Well, what's up, everyone? It's time to go inside EMS. I am your host, Chris Sabalero. Kelly Grayson is still on special assignment with duties, other duties as assigned, and I am going to take you through the next 30 minutes of some entertainment. Hopefully, we can do a little learning together. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, you guys know that I've been a paramedic for a long time, and I do a lot of leadership coaching. I do a lot of organizational process improvement outside of EMS, along with my other duties inside of EMS. And I wanted to share with you a conversation I had with one of my coaching clients who said to me, called me the other day and said that he made a faux pas at work and he may have lost some of his credibility with his workforce. He promised them something. He said he would have it by a certain day and it didn't happen. And I did tell him that I was going to talk about it on the show. I'm not going to betray his trust and tell who it is. But specifically, I said I wanted to talk about the topic. Because when we think about developing our own credibility, it's really important that this is the core of who we are. You know, I want you to think about this from an EMS side, okay? We are doing work that really we need, right? I mean, being there for somebody on what could be the worst day of their life is very, very important. In EMS, though, and I say this all the time, that EMS is a very egotistical business. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek. But it's the egotism that keeps us from asking the question why, because we don't want to look like we don't know what we're talking about in front of our peers. But if you know everything there is to know about EMS, raise your hand. And, you know, Kelly and I have talked about this over the years that we don't know everything there is to know, especially all the things that have happened and all the changes. I mean, you think about, you know, CPAP and you think about sonography and you think about, you know, now point of care ultrasound. I mean, EMS is evolving and we have to be able to say that we don't know everything there is to know about EMS. And it's the way that we were trained in school, right? I mean, I think they give us as much information as they can in a short amount of time. And we just think that when we get out, we need to be able to know everything. And we've got to be able to remember that that's not the case, okay? That we have core knowledge and we graduate and we get certified. And then really that's when our learning has to continue and we have to continue to grow in the process as we start to move forward. So when we think about this, what does all this have to do with credibility, you may say? All this goes into who you are in your professional foundation. And one of the things that I want to ask the question is EMS a career field or is EMS a stepping stone? And for years, I've always said that EMS is a stepping stone. People come to EMS to get experience as an EMT or paramedic. Then they go to the fire department because now they have that experience because you have to be a paramedic nowadays to get these fire jobs, or they use it to get into nursing school, or they use it to get into medical school. And one of the things that I think we need to embrace is to help people get to their goals of where they want to be. And I think that that's one of the things that we really need to be able to look at. Now, one of the things that I want to share with you is your professional reputation is developing every single day. And a lot of times we'll say, you know, I'll just buy this job as long as I can and I'll just get paid and then I'll wait for my next opportunity. But you have to remember, you're creating your reputation every single day. You are writing your autobiography every single day. And you have to now be able to develop the components that go into a good reputation. And of course, credibility is one of those things. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time. I want to talk about credibility. Oh, pardon me. And if you're watching me on YouTube, I need a paramedic. So actually just a little bit of fluid went down the wrong pipe there. But anyway, so when we think about credibility, what does credibility mean? When we think about the word credit, it does come from the Latin word of credo, which means I believe. And these are your beliefs. Very simply, it's the feelings and trust and respect that you inspire in others. And this is what's going to grow your reputation. No single thing will help you create credibility, but really it has to be a combination of things that will allow you to instill trust in people, that will allow you to instill in a respect in people and to inspire them. You know, we talk about leadership. Well, leadership is all about the ability to influence people. So if you're an EMT and you work on the truck and you can influence other EMTs or other paramedics or other people in your organization, by definition, you're leading them, you're guiding them. If you can't influence people, you can't lead people. So when you create a feeling of trust or when you are able to inspire people, now you're setting up your leadership reputation. Now, you may have only been working now for 2 or 3 years, but that doesn't mean that you don't have the credibility of being someone that can be trusted. When we think about this from the standpoint of why credibility is important, you know, have you ever worked for somebody you just couldn't stand? And I got to be honest with you, I was probably that leader that people didn't want to work for because they couldn't stand. In the beginning of my career, I was really trying to get ahead, and I was doing everything I could to develop into a person and get the classes and get the experience and develop the things that I was going to help grow my career. And then it wasn't until somebody took me and shook me who said, "This is not how we treat people, man." And they were right. And I was failing my workforce. My credibility was in the toilet. But have you ever worked for somebody that you just couldn't stand? You know, somebody who pointed a finger at the team, somebody who was not motivating, someone who was not inspiring. And on the flip side of that, who is the leader that really motivated you, that energized the team, that really inspired you? What characteristics did they have? What traits did they have? Did you trust them? Did you respect them? Were they inspiring to you? And again, we talked about those three things. So you have to be able now to develop the right reasons for you to be trusted and develop into a credible person. When you think about credible leaders, you want to be positive, right? You want to be able to attract enthusiastic and committed followers. You know, we know the negative Nellies out there, and we know the people who are always, you know, just as negative as they can be. And that zaps our motivation. You know, that zaps our enthusiasm. That affects our positive thinking. And it's hard to be positive. You know, and the hardest thing that we have to do as leaders is that we lead ourselves. And we have to be able to keep that positive focus on where we're going, what we want to be able to do. So when we think about this from a standpoint of credible leaders, we need to be able to attract enthusiastic and committed people that want to be able to be part of our journey, right? You know, people will say to me all the time, "Chris, you know, you talk about leadership and you talk about all these qualities that leaders have. What if my leader doesn't have those qualities?" Well, you know what? You set the standard for others to follow. You know, if your leaders are living on the side of egotism and are leading on the side of that they're the most important thing and you work for them, you're not going to move them right away, but you're still developing your professional reputation. You're still developing your credibility. You're still able to influence other people. And then as opportunities come up, you may need to be able, now you're able to create, you know, your reputation that people are going to say, "Oh, I heard about you over there at so-and-so." So let's talk about, I want to spend a few minutes and I want to talk about how to build your credibility. You know, in the subject of my client who is trying to redevelop their credibility, that's a whole other show. And that's actually what I was going to talk about is after you make a faux pas at work, how do you rebuild your credibility? But then I thought, well, if you've not built credibility in the first place, it's kind of hard to rebuild it. So I thought it would be a better show to kind of talk about the components of how to build credibility. So first, number one is building character. So I want you to think about a pyramid or a triangle, right? So when you think about a pyramid, your character and your integrity is what makes up the foundation of that pyramid. It's that bottom straight line, that horizontal line that everything else seems to sit on. Your character and your integrity make up the foundation of your credibility. Now, to build character, and how do you do that? What do you stand for? You know, who are you as a person? And, you know, we do have a inside person and an outside person. What does that mean? The way that I act at home isn't the way, and the way that I act with my friends isn't the way that I act when I'm outside in the workplace, right? I'm a little bit more carefree. I'm a little bit more colorful with my words. Maybe some of those blue words come out every so often, but I'm a little bit more relaxed. But My character is still built on my core values of who I am as a person. And there are things that I just won't violate. I got to tell you, earlier in my career, I had beliefs and I had values that I stood for. But when they were tested, I backed away from supporting them, right? When people were being bullied, I may have joined in rather than said, leave that person alone, right? So one of the things that you want to think about when it comes to your core values is to list what they are. And actually, back in the old days, NEMT had a course called the People Course. And this was one of the exercises that we would do is we would give them a bunch of cards and we would say, pick your top 10 core values. And then we would say, okay, now the core value police has just showed up, take one away. And then we would get them down to two or three core values. And we would say to them, what's the one that you won't break no matter what? So when you build your character, you've got to know what you stand for and what you won't violate and what you won't let people cross a line with you on. You know, there are people who will say to me, you know, and again, very blue with my language, very blue with my comment with telling jokes. And there are people that have said to me, I really don't like those jokes and I really don't want you to tell them around me anymore. Well, that's respect, right? And I could either flip the coin and say, well, too bad, so sad. Or I can say, well, I respect that. And I'll certainly, you know, refrain from doing those things. Well, what they're doing, though, is they're standing up for their character. They're standing up for their core value and core beliefs. And with that comes integrity. And integrity is also essential when it comes to developing your credibility. You need to be known for somebody who means what they say and they say what they mean. Now, does that mean you have to stay true to your words? You know, in the case of my friend, I told them that, you know, you said that you were going to do this by a certain day. You didn't do it. And you didn't let your workforce know that you weren't going to get it done by a certain day. And you let that go by, you know, for a couple weeks before somebody finally said, we can't trust you. Now, one of the things that I told him was important was when he knew that he wasn't going to meet the deadline, he should have been able to get on the line with his folks to say, look, I know I said that we were going to have this by this date, but I'm not going to be able to get it. I need a couple more weeks. So when you think about this from an integrity standpoint, you need to be able to be known as a person who does the right things for the right reasons. To preserve your integrity, you need to think very, very carefully about the choices and the promises that you make and never make a promise or a commitment that you cannot keep. And if you're going to be in a position where you can't do it, you need to be able to communicate that to the people who are trusting you to do it. You know, when you make a mistake, you need to own up to it. Let me ask you this. We think about our mistakes and our failures, and people will say, you know, have you ever made a mistake? What's the one thing that you ever did in your life that you did mistake-free? I got to tell you, man, I've started a lot of things, and I've made mistakes along the way. Mistakes are part of learning. You know, in my book, Ultimate Leadership, 10 Rules for Success, rule number 8 is experience comes from mistakes and mistakes come from lack of experience. It wasn't until I learned this rule that I was okay with the failures and the mistakes and the lessons learned that I had to make. And there were times that I had to go back to my workforce and say, I apologize, I made this mistake, and I'm going to go ahead and correct this now. What that teaches your organization is that you're not a one-mistake organization. Sometimes your people who are working with you will make a mistake and we're easily just to fire them or easily just to give them corrective action. We don't want to be a one-mistake organization. So to preserve your integrity, you need to be able to make sure that you're true to your word. Okay, we've been talking for a little bit. I want to go ahead and take a quick break right here. And then on the other side of our sponsor's message, we're going to pick back up and we're going to talk about authenticity.
Designed and founded by EMS professionals, LogRx provides real-time accountability of all your narcotics from cradle to grave. Reach out today for a demo and download the app on the iTunes and Google Play stores. And coming soon, LogRx will also track your medical supplies, equipment, PPE, and even vehicle checks. For more information, visit logrx.com. That's LOGRX.com.
So another way to start building your credibility as we come back out of that break is you need to be authentic. And people who are authentic do what they say. Okay. People are seeing the real you. Now, does that mean the real you of someone who's at home you know, who drinks whiskey, who smokes a cigar, who, you know, it may be, right? But there are people who kind of have a home persona, they have an at-work persona, but you're still being authentic to who you are. So you have a professional component and professional elements that you want people to see in you, right? That's being authentic. If you trust people and you want them to see your home persona, then you give them that as well, right? But being authentic, people who are authentic do, pardon me, they do what they say what they mean, but there's no mystery about their intentions or about how those intentions might translate into their actions. So thoughts create feelings. Feelings create actions. Actions create behaviors. Behaviors create habits. I mean, it's a cascading event, right? So when you talk about being authentic, it really gives you the opportunity to develop the reputation of who you are. You know, when you talk about Chris Sabalero, he's going to tell you exactly what he means. You may not like to hear it, but then don't ask if you don't want to hear the answer. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be truthful with you. I'm going to be inspiring. I'm going to be motivating, but I'm going to be as authentic as I can be. Next thing that you got to do to build your credibility is you got to develop your expertise. When we think about our job as paramedics, again, I started off this show by saying, is EMS a career field or is EMS a stepping stone? And again, I think that it has a stepping stone quality. There are not many people like Kelly and I who have spent 30 plus 40 years in the EMS career field and made it a career. And I didn't know that I was going to be a paramedic for the rest of my life when I first started this, but it was really the love of the work that allowed me to become the very best that I can be. And at the time that you're doing this job, are you the best EMT and are you the best paramedic and are you the best dispatcher that you can be right now? Or are you just waiting for the next opportunity to come by? Again, you've got to be able to create your professional reputation. And to build expertise, you need to choose a single area that is important to you. One of the things in my new role, I'm the new head of operations for a company called QuickMedic, and we're doing kind of quasi-community paramedicine responding to urgent care calls. We are building credibility by, you know, by answering the calls of people that don't know if they should be going to the hospital. But one of the things that I'm asking members of my workforce is what is your areas of expertise that you want to start to grow? There are people who are coming to me to say they have an affinity for education or they have affinity for QA/QI, which I think is interesting that people want to be in the QA/QI business. You know, we did that live show a couple of weeks ago with Dr. Remley Crow, and she made QA/QI a career. And there are people that want to be in that. So find out where your area of expertise is. One of the things that I used to do with my field training officers were that I'd ask them, what is their area of specialty, whether it was cardiology, whether it was respiratory, whether it was trauma. And I made them the subject matter experts when it came to that topic. So if you had a challenge with cardiology or reading a 12-lead EKG or, you know, what does this capnography mean against this EKG, they were the person that you can go to. All right, what's my point? Building your expertise as a paramedic, can you be an expert in EMS in all the areas of your job? I think you can, but I think that that takes time because you've got to be able to grow your knowledge. You've got to be able to grow your skill and you've got to be able to grow your abilities in doing that job and doing that job as great as you can. One of the things that I used to pride myself on of being a paramedic is my assessment skills, my ability to build rapport over vast personalities, right? So how I build rapport with this lady isn't the way I build rapport with this gentleman. So you need to be able to build your expertise. Pick an area that you're passionate about and start to learn everything you can about that. When you get to a point of comfort and your ability to teach it or your ability to influence people, then pick the next thing and start to move up. Remember, you're creating your professional reputation every day. Now, with that, is you've got to be able to stay up to date on what's going on in the EMS career field or what's going on in medicine. Because if there's a change, you want to be able to say what that change is. Well, there's research out there that is now saying this, and that's going to help build your expertise, and that's going to help you be seen as somebody who is credible and, you know, that you're able to talk about things. Now, you may hear something that's new that you didn't even know about. And you could say, well, I haven't heard that. Where did you hear that? Do you have any, you know, information on that? But then get on and find it yourself. We can't believe everything that we're told. We have to be able to verify it. We have to be able to research it ourselves to say, well, that's not exactly true. What that research was saying was this. Or, you know, I heard from this person that, you know, there was this new treatment for this condition, and I went and looked it up online, and they were right. But you want to be able to make sure that you're given the very best information and you're teaching the very best knowledge without giving false information. This could be detrimental to your expertise, for your reputation, and it will damage your credibility. Next, I want to talk about being transparent. And when we think about transparency, what does that really mean? You know, you don't want to be hiding things, right? There are things that are personal that I don't talk about with people because it's my business and it's happening in my life. And I want to be able to keep those things close to my vest. But when we're in the workforce or when we're with our peers, we want to be as transparent as we want to be. And people trust what they can see. And they want to be able to see you as open, and they want to be able to see you as honest. You know, I've made a comment just a few weeks ago. I made a comment that I found that was incorrect, and I had to go back and say, hey, I just want to let you know. Remember we were talking about this? You were right, and I was wrong. And that built a lot towards my credibility. And they said to me, that must have been horrible. That must have been a horrible taste in your mouth. I said, it tasted like vinegar coming out. But you know what? It was the right thing to do. Others don't have to guess what your motivations and your intentions are, because you're going to make sure that you're as transparent as you can be. And keep in mind that when you interact with people or interact with your team or you interact, you inspire trust when you talk openly about your intentions and your values and your goals. And you want to keep the lines of communication open, even when you have bad news to share. Sometimes we'll beat around the bush, and we need to be able to make certain that we are being as honest as we can be. The next way to build credibility is you want to communicate as clearly as you can. Your communication skills are vital to the importance of your credibility. When you talk and people choose to believe you, you've got to be able to stand by what you say. And one of the best ways to start communicating clearly is to strengthen your listening skills. You know, there's a great quote that comes from the Dalai Lama, and it's one of my favorite quotes. When you talk, you're only repeating what you already know, but when you listen, you may learn something new. And being an active listener really kind of shows that you care. It really kind of shows that you're interested in what people are saying. And sometimes people will say things that are just ridiculous, or they're crazy, or they're not true. And, you know, they're just repeating what they hear from other people or repeating what they hear on the news. But we have to be able now to think about proving. That goes back to our last thing about transparency, is if you're going to say something, be honest about it and make sure that you are on the right path of, you know, sharing the right things. But back to communicating, active listening is very, very important. You know, we're type A personalities in EMS. We want to fix things for people. And when people are talking to us, that doesn't necessarily mean they want you to fix it. We just want to fix it because we want to get it over with and move on to the next thing. Spend an hour with somebody who's got a problem and let them talk for an hour and just listen to what they have to say and use some, you know, vocalized pauses like, yes, huh, I see, nod your head, smile, and, you know, whatever it is. You want to learn listening? Actually listen to somebody and don't try to develop a response to what they're saying to you. They may not want you to give them a response. They just may want you to listen to them. The next one that is really important to building your credibility is being professional. And man, this is a big sticking point with me, because you need to be able to act and develop your professional reputation, and you don't let anybody else dictate who you are as a professional. You've worked with bosses and people who are unprofessional. You've worked with colleagues and peers and, you know, other members in your organization that have been unprofessional. And sometimes it doesn't look like their unprofessionalism is being corrected. Doesn't make a difference. You still carry yourself with respect. You still carry yourself with developing your professional reputation. You still carry yourself with the utmost of professionalism that you can. Professionalism is an important element in credibility, and it shows others that you truly care about the relationships and your work. You know, you look good in your uniform. It wasn't balled up and thrown into the chair and you got up the next morning and put on a wrinkled uniform. You're talking to your patients with respect. You're talking to your peers with respect. And one of the things that you need to be able to think about is when you're professional, it means you also control your emotions at work. I got to tell you, man, this was something that I was not good at all when it came to my emotional intelligence. I was somebody that had a very, very short fuse, and I would explode and I would get mad and I would get angry. And I think a lot of that went back to my younger years where I was bullied as a kid. I was small. I didn't know how to fight. People would pick on me. And then when I got to a place where I was able to defend myself and I learned how to fight and I learned how to, you know, kind of be a tough guy, I wasn't letting anybody bullying me, or I wasn't letting anybody talk back to me. I wasn't letting anybody challenge me. And I think that that was my own personal demons that I was carrying around. But when you're able to learn how to control your emotions at work and you truly become an expert in leading yourself with emotional intelligence. And there are five components of emotional intelligence. It's self-awareness. Why do you do the things? Why do you act the way that you do? Self-regulation or self-control. When I do get upset and when I do feel emotion, I'm not going to react to it. There is empathy, that you want to be able to empathize with the people around you. There's motivation, which is self-motivation. You have to be able to be the one to develop your next opportunity. And opportunity creates success. And then finally, it's developing your social skills, right? So how do you communicate in difficult situations? How do you inspire? How do you motivate? How do you grow relationships? Do your best to remain as objective as you can and keep the emotions out of the discussion. You know, I talked about my book, Ultimate Leadership, 10 Rules for Success. Rule number one, never allow your emotions to dictate your actions. How do you think I came up with that rule? So, you know, when you think about credibility, I mean, there's just so many different things that you need to be able to think about. But this is about who you are and who you're going to be as a professional. You know, my daughter is 27 years old now, and she's in the workforce. And, you know, she's made some decisions and some actions that have really kind of taken her credibility, has taken a little bit of a shot. And I keep telling her, who do you want to be recognized as a professional? Who do you want to be? And this really goes into defining your credibility, of building your reputation, building your character, being able to develop the expertise that you need to have to be successful in the workforce. And remember, you're just not in the workforce now. You're going to be in the workforce for a lot of years. I've got probably a few years left. I got maybe 5 years left, and then I want to be retired and enjoying what life has dealt me, right? Some of you guys that are coming in the workforce now have 40 years left before you retire. Maybe it'll be an EMS, maybe it'll be in another specialty, but it'll still be you who's doing the work. Develop your expertise, be transparent to the people who are around you, be able to communicate clearly, develop your active listening skills. And of course, you want to always be professional. Never let anybody dictate your level of professionalism. You're the one that sets the standards for your professionalism, and you need to be able to ensure that no one's ever going to compromise who you are as a professional. Man, that was fast, man. I'm out of breath now if I'm talking so fast. I mean, Kelly's not here. I just get on a rampage and just start talking and talking and talking. But you know, I think that this was an important topic. I think that everybody can benefit from listening to it. Go ahead and share this show with somebody that you think could find value in it. And that's going to start to develop your expertise as well. If you're listening to the show, you know, they say that knowledge is power. I'm going to say it's not if you don't use it. Knowledge is only power if you use it. When you learn something, you've got to be able to take it. You've got to be able to polish it. You've got to be able to research it. I mean, don't believe everything that I say just because I say it either. You've got to be able to make certain that the things that people talk about around you are legitimate, they're real, and it's something that you'd want to be able to share with someone else. All right. So that's it for this week's show. I appreciate the opportunity to come and share a little bit of expertise with you and allow me to join you on your professional development journey. For Kelly Grayson, I'm Chris Sabalero. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, have you had to redevelop your credibility? Are you in a place where, you know, you've not developed credibility yet? Send us an email at the show at EMS1.com. And I look forward to chatting with everyone again next week.